I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, of course, welcome everybody to today's episode. My name is Sonny. I'm here with my co-host, Mild Turkey. How are you doing today, bud?
That's actually what we call turkey in Canada. It's all just mild turkey. We prefer any other form of poultry, honestly. So turkey is very mild.
Hey, listen,
also,
I don't know about you, but we have Thanksgiving coming up. I know y'all's is like a different day. I don't know when y'all do Thanksgiving, but for us, Thanksgiving is in like 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time.
I do want to say,
frying turkey.
If you're listening, shout out to you, Jay. Mild turkey is a bowling reference on top of being it's a pendulum monster. And it's attempting to bowl. And three strikes in a row is a turkey. So that's the entomology of the Yu-Gi-Oh card. Very funny pendulum monster.
I think so too. So, of course, let's go ahead and thank all of our wonderful sponsors. So, there we go. Mm-hmm. A huge thank you, of course, to Steel Fox Games as well as ETB Games for their continued support of the podcast. If you are anywhere in like the ETB-ish area in Alexandria, Louisiana, there's going to be an Edison tournament this Sunday at 2 p.m. First place gets a Light Play Unlim Ultimate Rare Stardust Dragon. In addition to that, we're also going to be trying to do these Edison turns a little bit more regularly. This one's kind of last minute. I know I haven't like announced this with a bunch of time in advance, but be sure to check that out. We're going to do the Edison tournament. And then, of course, we want to thank all of our regular sponsors. We have, of course, Tier Zero Games, as well as Gem Accessories and Grimoire Accessories. We have discount codes for all of those down below. And, of course, we also have TCG Players, a discount code now. Is that correct? Or no, is it just affiliate still?
TCG Player should be just the link. It's a Dragon Shield that we have a code now for. That's top code 5.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Of course, Dragon Shield will be now top cut 5. So Grimoire, Dragon Shield, and Tier Zero are all top cut 5 at checkout for 5% off your order. Gem Accessories is, I think, top cut podcast 10 for 10% off your order. And be sure to check out the YouTube channel because we do have some reviews hopefully.
And in case you haven't, a huge shout out to our wonderful patrons at patreon.com/topcutpodcast.
Yes, absolutely. Also, we are live on YouTube. I know that I said that on the YouTube stream, but I'm making sure that it's in the podcast, because while it's not something we have normally done. It is something we will normally be doing. So if you do want to catch the episodes early, you can do that by subscribing to us on youtube.com/topcutpodcast. I don't know if that's what it is, but look it up. You'll find it. And so you can catch live streams of not only the podcast, but I'm going to be doing some other live streams of my own past this, now that I have like a real setup. Whoa. So with that said, why don't we explain what we're doing today? Scott, you want to go ahead and break down the idea?
Yeah, for sure. So you all cannot see my beautiful face, which I understand is a very sad thing to hear. But in its place, I hope you will accept a relatively blurry camera view of some cool Yu-Gi-Oh cards. So the concept for today's episode, and Sunny, would you like to give them the title of the episode? Because you came up with it. I think you deserve the credit.
Sure. So today we have... open discussion.
You just flipped your camera view just before you said that. That was incredible timing.
Yeah, I wanted to look at your screen when I did that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm with you. It's funny because that may be true on your side, but it's not true on mine. So in the video, it's going to look hilarious.
Well, yeah, but we're using my video for this.
That's true. Regardless. So this is obviously a Box of the Rarity collection, and depending on how long we go tonight, I do have a second one available, so it's a little bit of pack opening ASMR, but we're going to use this as an opportunity to talk about the Rarity collection and what it means, especially because this episode is going to go live when it officially releases everywhere and not just in OTS stores like it did on Wednesday the 1st. And we're also going to get to talk about some of the conversations about the price of the game, where we think the value of the set's going to be. Do we think there's a future for this type of set in the game? Because obviously this is unprecedented. We have nothing like this before. And while we're doing that, I'm going to open some packs. So if there's any pause in the discussion, it's because I pulled something cool. So I don't know how much you've been in the loop, Sunny, but because I know I've been kind of like marinating in this since I decided to order a couple of boxes, but what do you think about the Rarity collection overall? Where is your head at off the top?
So it's kind of weird, right? Because I feel like, let me get a little bit of music going for the live streamers.
Don't y'all worry, you know, folks. We still got the lo-fi Yu-Gi-Oh beats on Spotify. I got you covered.
Actually, I have a different one, actually. I have a Stream Beats by Harris Heller on.
Sporadcast Space.
And for those that are... Oh, is that the first premium?
No, this is not actually a premium. This is just the secret rare. So this is just a vanilla secret rare Avramax. But they look really nice. It looks really beautiful in secret.
Wow. I was just looking up and that. I think it looks awesome.
And this is...
For those in the live stream, please tell me how the music sounds, because I literally have no idea.
Just a regular Ultra here. And a regular Ultra Pot of Extravagance and a regular Super Iris Sword Soul. So no premium rares in the first pack. But I mean, look at this first pack. Like,
there's something to be said for the way this pack is structured. Our packs are structured differently than they are in the TC, in the OC, in the EU. EU. Ah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the NA packs are structured differently. So in the EU, the packs are actually super secret ultra ultra. Over here, it's super secret ultra ultra super. Do you know why?
It's so that you could hit three luxury rares in a row. It's because there's certain slots in the set that are replaced, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm curious about this. I
don't know for sure, but my suspicion is that they did that because the supers cannot be luxury rares. So in Europe, the back card of the pack, you know, it's really easy for cards, especially in a five-card pack, they get damaged. So,
interesting.
If I have any two cards in my pack that are going to be damaged, it's usually the front and the back. This allows the front and the back to be separate. Or like, they're both supers. They're like the least valuable cards in the pack. So there's no potential of like a luxury rare being the back card in the pack and it got damaged or something.
Oh, that's smart play.
I think Konami NA did it right by moving one of the supers to the back, because while it's less suspenseful because one of the luxury rares could be the second card,
better for preserving the condition of the cards,
right? I think it's better for preserving the cards.
Yeah. Also, can I just say, this is like a mid pack in this set, and it's actually just insane. A good rarity for Extravagance, a good rarity for Avramax, an updated text AFD, Chaos Patriarch is limited, but again, it's super, which is nice, and Iris Sword Soul. These are all like good cards.
Notably, we did already have an updated rarity for AFD, I think, or updated text.
We did have updated text, but Do we have a secret for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was a promo.
Oh, the tin. That makes sense. So
yeah. What was that question you asked me earlier?
So, we got distracted by pack number one. Where are you at overall with the rarity collection? What's spinning around your head? Because we can maybe see how we feel, and then we can go into the specific topic from there. Oh, the golden Dungus and secret rare, finally not trapped in maximum gold.
Wait, on the first card?
This is just a super.
Oh, you said in secret.
Right? Yeah, so this is actually not maximum gold. So this is the alt art.
Okay.
I talked about this on another episode. You might not have been here for it, but the main difference from this set in the OCG, aside from Maxi being gone, is that in the OCG they only got the alternate art, Unicorn and Golden Lords, in collectors and ultimate. We get them at every rarity, and I assume that's to replace the slots that Maxi would have taken up. So we actually have more chances to pull the alternate art, Eldritch and Nightmare Unicorn. We've got back-to-back Golden Lords in two different rarities. Check this
out. So that's something cool that can happen in this set. I really do like that. I'm kind of digging that you can have that one pack that technically you can have as many as four different of the same card in one pack.
Fairy Tail Luna, Artemis the Magistus Moon Maiden, and a Pot of Desires. So no luxury rares yet, but again, this pack is insane. Like, Fairy Tail Luna, Artemis is good, Pot of Desires is good, and then the golden, the secret alt art Golden Lord looks so beautiful. It's not going to come through on my camera, it's not going to do it justice, but it's really beautiful. It's very cool. So sorry, the problem with me opening this is that it's too exciting. So I keep cutting off your thoughts. So maybe you give your thoughts and then I'll keep cracking packs.
I think that you're going to have to stop me though. If
Oh yeah, I'll cut in. If when I decide it's too much, I'll just open the pack.
Well, it's not even that. Just cut me off if you like do the little sneak peek look and you end up seeing a premium collector's rare.
Yeah, I got
like
you.
Like a premium rarity.
I got you.
Luxury rare, that's what they're called.
Luxury rare.
Listen, here's my thoughts on the set. Listen, there's a lot of different ways to define the best product, right? But like, it's up there, right? It's definitely one of them.
I got one. So this isn't one. No, I saw the edge of a collector's rare. So secret rare Herald of the Arclight.
Let's get it very close. Let's get it very close.
So this is an ultra rare Pot of Prosperity, which is one of the best reprints in the set for sure.
In the set for sure.
The next one, I think, this is a collector's rare Nibiru, the Primal Being.
Oh my good dude, that's wonderful. Look that at is this. Beautiful.
It's not gonna come through on my camera super well, but like the foil that they have. Foil on this is incredible, dude.
That is beautiful.
This looks just gorgeous in person, and like they did the foiling so well on the rock. And then a super rare Deco Talker Heat Soul. Again, look at this pack.
Yeah, that is.
Look at this pack.
Wow, that is beautiful. Like,
shout out to Jay. I love you, but this could have been something else. But what a just a beautiful pack. I gotta sleeve up that Nibiru.
Yeah. That's gonna go in the
Dragon Shield
sleeves. In the highlight reel. Oh, shout out Dragon Shield.
Yeah. What a beautiful card. So this is interesting because this is actually going to be my first time seeing the rarities in person. I think personally so far, it seems like everybody agrees the collectors is the best, but damn, this card is just so pretty. We're going to divvy up
the rest. I have not seen any of the luxury rarities in person. At least, I mean, I've seen the quarter century secret rares on other things, right? Like mm-hmm. I have like the Lobelisk and like, you know, I got some Megatons. So I've got like Stardust and Armor Master and things like that. But I have not seen them from the rarity collection, because I feel like everything in the rarity collection is just a little bit different from what we're used to, right? Well,
super rare Pot of Extravagance. We had an ultra earlier, so again, those rarities. Oh shit, that's a quarter century.
Language. We're live on the podcast.
I forgore. I'm too hype. Deco Talker Heat Soul, quarter century secret rare. Ooh, baby.
This is what I'm talking about, though. This is why. This might be the best set ever in the game's history. And I don't think that that's exaggerative of me to say. I legitimately believe that this pack should be in the discussion, right? Not so, and it's from a couple of different perspectives.
I don't think it's even a contest, but continue. Yeah,
I do. I think that there's, so I think best set in the game's history, or not the best set. I don't want to say that. I want to say the best product, because those are two different words, right? I think there's a couple of different criteria that you can put as best product. Beautiful, by the way, beautiful card. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see these cards next time when we do a stream like this, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube. I think that there's a couple of different ways you can define the best product that the game has ever had. One of them, of course, is the best value proposition, which this might be. Another way that you can describe it is what it does for the player base in terms of accessibility. Another thing that
I hate to do this to you. It's another quarter century secret.
Okay, what do we have?
The Winged Dragon of Ra, Sphere Mode.
So is this the highest rarity of this card now, or?
So that, I think, is the question. Is it this, or is it the Ghost?
And or is it the CR?
It's like, there's going to be a legitimate debate, and I think that's something else that's interesting about this. In terms of the quantity, I think rarest is the quarter century. But if we're talking like, what do people... We now have a question of like, what do people want instead of what objectively the highest rarity is. Like, I think people would say probably it's the Ghost, but I think this could have an argument. And I gotta say, holding it in person, it looks real nice. Imagine dropping this on somebody at Locals. Imagine going to Locals and side decking Sphere Mode and being like, wabam. And then reasoning, you know, the Magician's Salvation.
There's just a thing of beauty about that. Oh, and also, I would say, be careful, because sometimes you'll think, oh, I got a luxury rare. No, you can get two or even three in a pack. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that.
I mean, that was back to back. So now probably I'll only get one or two more of these in the box. It seems like they tend to be three per. So the rest of mine will probably be collectors or alties. But also,
so mathematically speaking, it should be three of the quarter century secret rares per box. Three platinum secret rares per box,
and then four
theoretically,
and then four
those are the numbers
roughly, and then four collectors, four alties. Although some of them
six each.
Is it six each? That's wild. I thought it was four, because
well,
I was
you have
I thought per box.
No,
it was,
I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I did my math wrong. You're right. Yeah. It's four each.
Also, like, there are a ton of reprints that are low key really good. Golden Lord is a really good reprint. At all the rarities, it's either locked behind like a secret rare printing that is inaccessible, or gold printings that people don't want. Herald of the Arclight is like a card that's perennially expensive for no reason and is now going to be pennies for like the rest of time.
Yes.
This is the first time I have owned a copy of Nadir Servant. Like, I've just never been able to justify it. So
I have actually owned copies of Nadir Servant before. When I first got back into the game, Rise of the Duelists was the most recent set. I bought a box and pulled one Nadir Servant at $70. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Back
so
in the
single-handedly
day.
Bought me my entire Dino deck.
And super rare Forbidden Droplet. Also a fantastic necessary reprint.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to circle back to my previous, what I was saying, though, because I feel like you can define it by accessibility. You can define it by what it does as far as... What was I saying? I forgot what I was saying.
I don't know what you were saying. Best product. Like, how could you define it? You were talking.
Yeah, but like, there's different ways you can define it, right? You can define it by what it did for the game as far as accessibility, what it did for the game as far as like how it affected the game from a competitiveness standpoint. Mm-hmm. Or when you talk about the best product, you can also talk about what that product did for the game. There was a third thing I mentioned earlier, and I can't remember what it was, but. Generally speaking, like accessibility versus the competitiveness
That's just a regular
are the two
secret.
Things that you really want to keep an eye out for. And I think that while this set does wonders for accessibility, I have to wonder what if that's the main thing we need to be considering. And if we're talking about what a product does for accessibility, is this still the best one? I don't know that it is. I think there's two products that I would put as above this one just on the basis of accessibility.
So I think, let me guess, I can guess at one of them. I think because I think the closest thing to compare this to, there's two different sets that I think are worth comparing this to. Magnificent Mavens, and Dual Devastator.
I want to clarify. Not set, product.
Product, okay. My thought is
because
dual...
Because a set would be like a sealed thing that you pull. But I'm talking about products. Because I consider Dual Devastator to be it.
That's... Dual Devastator is the one I was thinking of. Ooh, Secret, yeah. Secret Rare Dark Logo is kind of nice. That Ooh, looks real nice. Pretty.
The cards on the camera just have this depth to them that is just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Elder Entity Entis so, Ultra is good.
You said that...
would you look at that?
You were talking about the which set you think.
Baron DeFleur, this is just a regular Ultra. But again, seeing this at Ultra is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it has Ultra printings, but seeing it like a cheap Ultra.
I've been seeing it for as an Ultra for 2 years now, but... So, yeah, cheap Ultras are very different.
I think from an accessibility perspective, there's a debate around, like, if we wanted to talk about, like, which set has done the most for player accessibility to the game, I think the only two sets with arguments are Magnificent Mavens and Dual Devastator. So,
right.
Mavens, again, had a whole bunch of, like, incredibly good staple reprints on top of meta-relevant cards and the Ishizu cards, and, like, it reprinted the whole Sword Soul deck core. Imperm, a bunch of other staple cards were in there, and you got sleeves with it, right? But
sure.
The reason that I think that's comparable to this is that while that set is worse in terms of the reprints, it's another set that's not guaranteed, but you were still pulling like good cards every pack, right? They actually,
sure.
The way that Mavens was actually structured, they were like, you're guaranteed to get like one good reprint card. They were like, you're getting an evenly matched, you're getting an imperm. That's like, they actually had similar to how they have this set structured with like the type of card you're getting is in that slot, right? The thing with Dual Devastator is that it's a different angle on accessibility. Those cards were guaranteed, which this set is not. But if you look at what I've already pulled out of like not even like maybe a quarter of the box, like already a Nibiru, already a Prosperity, Two Extravagances, a Droplet, already extra deck cards that are useful generically, Entis. Like some of the cards in Dual Devastator are like Ally of Justice Catastor. So like and you have to compare them to their era, I guess, right? But
sure.
I don't know.
I think there's one other product that's worth being in the discussion of purely on the basis of accessibility, the best product ever released.
Okay, let me hear it.
And you were not in the game at this time, so you do not necessarily have all the context here.
I wouldn't have it. Dark Ruler, very good.
Amazing. I personally believe that there's a legitimate argument to be made for the 2012 Ninja Grandmaster Hanzo Tin.
Oh, that had Maxi and Rescue Rabbit, right?
Maxi's first reprint, Rescue Rabbit's first reprint, Tour Guide from the Underworld's first reprint, and Shockmaster's first reprint, all guaranteed.
Tour Guide was actually the big one, wasn't it? That card was like really expensive.
Tour Guide was over $100. Uh-huh. Maxi was like $80 to $100. Rescue Rabbit was at the time still $100. Shockmaster was $50.
I've got a Collector's coming up here.
Pog?
Ooh, Collector's Rare Fallen of Albaz.
Oh, dude. Okay, so from the angle you were holding it, I thought that it was actually a Lone Fire Blossom. I was like, that's a freak out. Because that is one of my cards that I really want from this set.
And a Super Rare Nibiru. This set is insane.
This is so kind stupid. Of like when you watch a long like a longer video and they're like for the zoomers and they have Subway Surfers in the bottom corner.
Mm-hmm. That's
what this is.
So I, to be real with you, after thinking about it, I mean, obviously I'm in hype mode because I'm like opening it up right now. I think this is just the best set that's ever been made. And I don't think it's even like remotely close. Like if you take like
I think it will be once I open it. I think I'll agree.
yeah, true. And I gotta say, it's definitely like the most fun set to open ever. Like I don't even think that's a contest either. Like
yeah,
so some stuff that's gonna be interesting here is that a ton of cards now are just gonna be incredibly cheap. Again, we're not even out of pre-sale mode on TCG Player, but Baron DeFleur at the super rare is already down to $4. And we're not even at the peak of like the quantity that's going to be on the market. The competition's going to be crazy.
That's super.
So I would say like maybe 3 or 4 days after release, maybe even a week, look to pick up what you want to pick up. People at locals also are going to want to trade stuff. So keep an eye out. And that is a secret rare Ash Blossom and Joyous Spring.
Don't remind me.
Just a regular
secret. That's the one thing that I'm upset to see in this collection.
Oh, And Ultra Artifact Lancia. I actually need more copies of Lancia, so that's really good.
The Rarity Collection is no longer on pre-sale on TCG Player.
Look at this pack. Look at this. Evenly matched. Mud Dragon of the Swamp, Artifact Lancia, Ash Blossom, Ginger Jackalope. This is insane.
Would you like to hear some numbers on what things are actually currently listing for on TCG Player? And again, the pre-sales have ended. This is the actual listings. On TCG
Player. I'm curious about Ash Blossom at the top end, but say what you're looking at.
So Ash Blossom, we know, started at $300 on pre-sale. It is now currently listing at $195.
So because like sealed of this is starting to get hard to find and everybody's cracking it open, I think later down the line some of the higher rarity stuff is going to go back up as people decide which rarity of the cards that they want. I think that's something to consider.
It feels like half this set is $20 to $30.
Oh, this is another quarter century.
This is a third one and you're not even halfway through the box.
Quarter Century Eldritch the Golden Lord OG.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful. I want that one. I don't want the Altart. The Altart's nice. I want that. Wow, that is beautiful.
Personally, I would have preferred the Altart, but I'm not going to complain because this is gorgeous. I'm
just pull two of each. Easy.
I don't care if it's suboptimal. I'm playing this in Fluffle now. It's beautiful.
What do you mean it's suboptimal?
It's like in some formats. Oh, holy shit. I have three luxury rares in this pack. I have three.
Three?
There's two ultis.
No shot.
There's two ultis
in the
back.
You have three?
There's two ultis in the back. Check this out. So this is the quarter century.
Dude, do you know how rare that is? I did the math on this. Hold on. Wait.
I did the math on this.
This is like one in like 1,000.
Yeah, not to mention there's two ultis. So I think it's that's a misprint. I don't think it's supposed to happen. So this is.
No. That can happen. That's right.
So this is an ulti Ghost Trick Angel of Mischief, which I shout out to Kelly Waggio.
Wow, somebody clipped this.
And
please.
An ulti Boreload Savage Dragon.
How do the ultis look? It's so hard to tell on video.
Yeah, so on video, so they are not done justice on video. So I saw people compare these to the rarity collection, to the like maximum gold without the gold. There, I see a little bit of truth to that, specifically on the art. I think they did a really good job with these. Like the extended artwork on the card, like the foiling across the whole thing is really nice. I still prefer the old style ultimate rares, but I will say like the art really does like pop, like the texture, like you can feel that they've like raised it up a bit. I think it's really sick. And Kotalker inverted. Well, I got to sleeve up three cards now. Cool. So the math on that was unlikely, but I will, I'll take.
That's rarer than pulling a starlight. You know that, right?
I guess I'm just cracked, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
yeah. And then some.
Yeah, one of us is turning that into a YouTube short, I bet, later. This set is ridiculous. So, I think the other conversation to have, now that, like, the very cool pack is out of the way, is there is a conversation to be had about where the game is at an affordability level after this. Because I think...
That's so crazy. I'm sorry, I can't get over three in one, in one pack. I cannot get over it.
So, I think the one thing, right, is that at a local level... the game is like more affordable than it's been in a really long time. Like if you're just playing at a locals that is not super competitive, you could play a really, really strong deck for very cheap. At a high level competitive level, it's not that much less expensive. The main things that got cheaper for those are Forbidden Droplet, Baron DeFleur, Pot of Prosperity. And those are great reprints that lower the cost of the game a lot. But if you take a deck like Rescue Ace, for example, even if you say like, aren't playing the Diabelle Star engine, right? The SP Little Knight is the difference in the cost that you saved on those cards, right? in Monadium, really, you only saved money on the Baron. For people who are coming into the game and are needing to get staples, the set is a godsend. But I think for people who are trying to compete at a high level, this doesn't do that much. That is, I think, the only downside, is that this set is coming at a time when at a high-end competitive level, the game is still expensive. But for people who need staples, this is the best set ever made.
I would say for new players, it's probably the best set. Yeah. And the reason I think it's so hard for me to say that it is the best set ever...
Ooh, this is... sorry to cut you off. This is a Platinum Secret Effect Veiler, and there's another Luxury Rare in here, I think.
Wow, you're killing it.
There's not. I lied. this is the Platinum Secret. Now that I'm seeing this in person, I actually really, really love it. So, the Secret Rare foiling is definitely got a little bit of touched up. It's kind of got like, if you pull up like a regular Secret Rare, it doesn't have like the type of dotting foiling. It's kind of more shattered. This is more dots. The foiling in the name has a really, really cool effect to it, where if you tilt it, if I do it this way, you might see it better on the camera. But if I tilt it, it's like different parts of the name will highlight. So it's got like kind of a shattered foil feel. And then this isn't going to show up as well on the camera either, but there's foil around the border of the effect text. And that is the thing
that's
that
so
I like.
Nice.
It's really, really cool. And I have never, for Veiler, like I'm somebody who is in the game. I have like high rarity stuff. I've never owned a not common effect Veiler. And I now have like an Ultra and a Platinum Secret. So
you
like,
never owned a not common?
My Veilers have always been commons.
Really?
Like when I, so a lot of my staple stuff now, when I pick up like stuff for decks that I like is high rarity, but for staples, it's always the lowest I could get. And I was in university when I started playing at locals. So like I got my, yeah.
Thank you for subscribing just now during the podcast, EpiPen.
That is actually my first Plat Secret, which is kind of disappointing because I really like that rarity. But I mean,
I'll say this. Fun fact, Effect Veiler, although it's been in the game for over a decade now, has never had a secret rare printing.
Well, until now.
Until now, yeah. Now it has technically three secret rare printings.
Yep. So
just that one quarter century secret.
Point being, I absolutely understand the people who are like, this set is like really cool, but actually it doesn't distract from the fact that at a high end the game is still really expensive. That is correct. Like that is just the correct take, and it sucks. But if this is a sign of things to come and not just a one-off thing, I think there is hope. Is kind of my thought process.
I think that, like for me, for example, I have most of these cards already. In my opinion, this set for me doesn't do anything but make me go, ooh, this looks like fun to open. But past that, because I already own these cards, it doesn't actually help me, right? It helps me look cooler to the new
shinier,
people that don't know. But, you know, overall, I think the set really easily ranks in the top five. Like you can make the argument that Dual Devastator is probably actually the better set for the from like in the history of the game for like what it did and
guarantee is the
yeah. But there's something to be said for how fun the rarity collection is to open, right?
And for how close to a guarantee it is, right? Like especially with how cheap the staples are. If you bought a box of this, you can probably trade for the stuff you need at locals or in your local community. It's like when everybody is opening the set, people are going to have stuff. Somebody at my locals pulled cases and they messaged me that they pulled three quarter century secret rare fossil digs. Those are now my fossil digs.
Those are now mine. Yeah.
Someone in the, I posted in the Necrofusion Enthusiasts that I was, this was seven. So this is seven more printings of fossil dig that I can collect as the dinosaur guy.
That is true. That is unequivocally true.
I have yet to pull one. I have not pulled a fossil dig yet.
So I think that's something that people aren't really taking into account when they call this the best set ever.
Is that there are, you're only getting like one or two of a card out of a box, right?
If that, because when you think about it, you have 79 cards and technically you have like several hundred chances.
I think that's an
ulti. Or over 100.
You got an ulti coming in hot here. So it's not the Dark Claw, it's whatever's behind it.
Okay, all right, let's see.
Ooh, this is an ultimate rare reasoning. That's gonna go nasty in GOAT or Edison.
That's right.
Probably.
The GOAT enjoyer's agony, because this card's not used for anything healthy, but you know, rejoice in your agony, I guess, because they're gonna do it beautifully. I will say, though, like I was saying, like Dual Devastator might be considered like potentially like a better product for what was in it and what was in it and stuff. Maybe it's better, but like I said, this is just so much more fun to open. I mean, how the 1 in 1,000 odds of getting not a good card, but 3 luxury rares in one pack. Like, that's just not something you got out of Dude. There was no hype for Dude because it wasn't, there was no chase.
Yeah.
And having that chase here, even if a lot of the cards are going to end up very cheap because they're going to be as supers, that's fine.
Yep. So this is actually a reprint I was looking forward to, is Lava Golem in many different rarities. I have also never owned a copy of Lava Golem. So this will find
at all?
Yep, at all. Because for a long time, it was expensive until the Speed Duel reprint happened, to the point where I couldn't like really justify buying them to have them as a staple. Now there are other cheaper printings of it, and the price has gone down since like Lava Golem became announced for this set. But yeah, so I'm going to set Lava Golem aside because I actually need that. So that's the thing, like, well, even somebody like me who's been in the game for a while, like, everybody has that, like, one card that they're like, I don't know if I can spend the money on this, like, it would be nice to have, but it's just, like, not really worth it, and there's a lot of cards right in there like that for me. Like, having backup copies of Herald of the Arclight is huge. I maybe only have 2.
Well, I want to say we do have a question from a viewer in the live chat. Do you want to talk about it?
We can, except that I have a luxury rare here, so maybe we can do that after.
After, okay, right, after so the luxury rare.
This is just a regular old secret Deco Talker Heat Soul. And an ultra rare Ghost Trick Angel of Mischief. It's an effect monster. It's an ultimate rare Blackwing Samud the Poison Wind.
Yo, Andorain Rejoice, one of our patrons and also one of my friends from... that I see all the time. He is been a longtime supporter of the podcast. He actually won our invitational with Blackwings, and he's looking for these. So shout out to
you. I may have to get in touch. Also, a shout out to Maple, fellow Canadian, hashtag buy Blackwings. This, I gotta say, this is not a card that I wanted out of the set. This looks amazing as the ulti, because it has like the raised art in like the black. There's no way I can like show this to you on camera where it would make sense. Maybe like this almost. Like you see how it's like...
I think I kind of see it. Yeah, that's amazing.
Like it's coming out of the card. That's really, really sick.
So the question that we have is Pack right? I need to know. I asked if he was right about what, and they said the format being no bueno. So we do have some questions about how we feel about the format. Now, I have some regionals next weekend, so I've been doing a little bit of research trying to get into the format and try to understand the format a little bit. And here's kind of where I'm at on the format. There's like Rescue Ace, Sinful Spoils Rescue Ace is like probably the best deck, even though it had the highest representation at Indianapolis, though we don't actually know that for sure, but it's like probably the best deck. And then after that, you kind of have like Pearly and Monadium, Tear Lament, and maybe like another deck that I'm not thinking of as like
I'm
the other best deck.
Sorry to interrupt. I got a Collector's.
You're good.
Collector's Rare Effect Veiler.
That one's one of the highest cards on my list of I want to see that in person and maybe cop some of those. That's wow.
It is pretty. Your camera's going to stay out of focus.
It's stunning.
But that is gorgeous. Okay, continue.
Oh, also, the card sitting on the table, shout out to our moderator in chat who pointed it out, the Egyptian God Slime. That's actually a really good reprint. Yes. That's his first reprint.
I was pointing at this. This card was like $50 for no reason.
I sold mine for $35 at a regional in August after we knew this was happening.
It was buried in a side set, so this being reprinted is actually really big. But anyway, continue. Format. Another secret name.
But I think those four decks kind of stand out, and you could say that any of them are like fine. But the issue is that there's like 25 decks underneath those that are just like any of these could just win a YCS on any given weekend, right? I was watching the MBT tier list video and he made a pretty compelling argument of that just anything can win the YCS. And I think that's where a lot of people's frustration with the format comes from, is because there's so many decks that are so good that it's kind of hard to game plan for an event.
Yeah. So personally, formats like these are amazing for locals players and they're very bad for pro players. Pro players want to be able to perform consistently, and to perform consistently, you need to be able to game plan for multiple decks. Thrust, I think, has kind of given people this like false sense of security about being able to be prepared for everything. But ultimately, when the format is this wide, you're going to run into bad matchups. Makanko just won OICS. If you, in fact, if you look at the top cut of Indianapolis, there was a huge swath of Rescue Ace for sure. But then everything else was like 3, 2, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. There was a Fluwanderers, a Rikosan Avalon, a Tri-Brigade Sprite. The Monadium players were on different builds. Like, on the bubble, there's stuff like Gold Pride, Makanko, Blackwing. There are a lot of decks just like sitting in the wings, waiting for somebody to have a killer run with them. And you will be blindsided at an event. Super rare.
The issue, though, is that there's so many of these decks that are just unfun to play against. We'd said, like, last year's Nationals, we had a similar issue. Yeah, like, there's a lot of decks, but they're really unfun to play against because they're Scythe locking you, or they're, you know, the Ibley locking you, or they're doing Mystic Mine or Floodgates. Just, it was always something. Question from Mr. Jeremy, what is the most unhealthy deck in the format? It might be Makanko.
I don't know that I would go that far. I think, personally, I think the most unhealthy deck is any of the Monadium builds that are doing the Calamity turn skip. I think that's probably the most cancerous thing because it's very much drawn out.
We're talking about the Makanko deck that is am I wrong, or is the Makanko deck the one that is locking you out of summoning using Acid Golem?
Acid Golem. Yeah, it might be Makanko. It's so. Acid Golem, for those who are unfamiliar, by the way, this is just off topic. My twin brother is looking for upgrades for pre-prep, so this is really good for him. But also Secret Rare Mud Dragon of the Swamp, gorgeous. Amazing that this card gets upgrades after being trapped at, like, ultra uncommon for 12 billion years. IDP and Cherubini in the same pack is so stupid. What was I talking about? I got distracted by Astral Express.
This comment is going to remind you, nobody is playing that version of Monadium? I think it's got to be Pearly drawing six is crazy.
I think there's an argument that Noir is annoying, but like everybody is playing their outs to Noir as like a way to respect it. I think maybe Pearly's more toxic now because less people are playing Book of Moon and Book of Eclipse, and that means that the draws are resolving more often. So it's hard. There's a lot of like.
So does it have to stay face up on the field for the draws to resolve?
Well, so what you do.
I don't know how the cards work. I've never read the Pearly cards. I literally don't know how the deck works.
So basically what you do is they have a normal trap card called Pearly Leap, and your goal is to put an Xyz monster on field, ideally Plump, but because Delicious is limited, it might be a different one like Noir or the mini Noir or Beauty or something. And then you stack as many copies of Sleepy Memory under it as you can. Sleepy Memory's effect is that during the standby phase, you can use this effect if it's attached to Xyz material to draw one card. That stacks for each copy of it that you have. So it's like, if it's Xyz material, it gains. So let's say you have you get two underneath of a Noir that's at like five materials, right? Or five or six materials. During the standby phase, you activate the effect of the monster to draw a card. And then you activate the effect of the monster again to draw a card because you have two sleeping memories giving it the effect. You use Pearly Leap to rank up into the big towers guy, which is X Pearly Nora. And then because it's a new monster on top of those cards, you can use the effects of the spell cards granted to the Xyz monster again. So you can use Sleepy again to draw card number 3 and Sleepy again to draw card number 4. Add to that X Pearly Noir is not once per turn detach two materials to just target a card on the field and put it on top of your opponent's deck. And if it has 5 or more materials, it is unaffected by activated effects.
So it's cancer.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah, cancer.
Oh, I got another one. I don't know what type it is.
What are you at now? You've got to be beating the odds. Wow.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. This is just regular Secret Rare Pot of Desires. It's an ultimate rare Harpy's Feather store.
So can we talk about
how many
bannable cards there are in this set? Like, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, Dimension Shifter is in this set. Harpy's Featherstorm is in this set. Inspector Border is probably not bannable, but it is also in this set.
It should be.
Yeah. And Sphere Mode and A Visionary Affairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also, there's like, I mean, I could make an argument. I think that Baron is a bannable card. There are some like weird floodgates too. Debarrier's in this set. Eradicator is the one that's not in this set. Yeah, that's five ulties. It's a little whack. Only one plat secret's kind of cringe, but
how do the ulties look in person? Because like I said, on camera they don't look good.
It very much varies. I'm just gonna be honest. Yeah, on camera I agree that they don't. In person, I think they're really cool. So Harpy's Featherstorm, okay, for example, the foiling on this is incredible. They've got like two different levels to it that are raised. So there's like the wind effect is raised up, but also the like the leaves behind it are kind of raised up just a little bit below it. So you get this like really cool texture effect. I think what's kind of weak is the foiling across the whole card. I think is kind of mid. Like the collector's rare already kind of covers that niche. I wish it was like the old style ulties where they would do that foiling on just some sections of the card and then it would be super embossed there. But I do say in person, they look so much better. And it depends on the card too. Like, for example, the Ghost Trick Angel of Mischief looks kind of mid. It's cool that the art pops out, but it doesn't pop out in a way that's cool. The reasoning is really cool because the individual cards pop out in the reasoning that are popped out. Savage Dragon also is kind of mid, again, because it's just the card pop out. Samoon works really well because it's got that like black purple, so it makes like the card like really push.
Dependent on the card is what you're saying.
Yes, so I think for this rarity, it does depend on the card. I gotta say, Samoon looks just so sick. Samoon looks really, really cool.
Hey, the Blackwing cards have always looked really cool.
That's true.
So, if you're ranking the best sets in the game's history, is this really number one for you?
To be honest with you, I don't think it's a contest. Like,
really?
If you look at this box, right? For like, and the cards that are here, for $100, like, I have a playset of Sphere Mode. I have two Eldritch the Golden Lord, which is enough to play the deck. I actually have three Effect Failures. There's some in here. I've got an Ash Blossom. I've got a playset of Pot of Desires, a playset of Pot of Extravagance. I've got extra deck staples, like Borland Savage Dragon is sitting here. I've got Ice Dragon's Prison, there's trap cards. Like, if you're opening just casual product, it's good. In terms of getting singles at the super rarity, this is like the best set ever made. I think there's not much that compares. Like, it's tough to compare this to a core set just because stuff isn't guaranteed, but...
Right.
I don't know.
I think there's a reason that... This is the greatest set of all time.
This is a platinum secret rare lone fire blossom. Does that change your mind?
It doesn't change my mind, but it's very nice. It's very nice.
Oh, no.
Dude, don't tell me he did it again. Don't tell me, bro.
I'm crazy.
Okay, we do have a chat, and what is the quintessential Alberta food?
I don't think that exists. I'm gonna be real with you.
I didn't think so either, but I wanted to throw it at you. I live in the food place. I live in Louisiana.
He does live in the food place. If I had to give you an answer, it would be going to Brew House and ordering a medium, like a very extremely mediocre poutine. And that... that would be my answer to that question.
I had poutine.
Although, I will say...
It's garbage.
There's no, like, Alberta-specific food, but Edmonton, the city that I live in, honestly has a lot of, like, really, really sick restaurants. Like, so we don't have, like, a food, but we have a lot of cool places from, like, everywhere. The only thing we're lacking is a good Mexican restaurant.
I'm just gonna let you know. The only reason that Canada thinks that poutine is, like, this... godsend to humanity is because
Platsy IDP.
That's nice. The only reason that Canada thinks poutine is like this amazing thing is because they don't have good food. So fries with gravy is just considered a delicacy.
You're probably not wrong about that, to be real.
So when I went there, someone who's actually from somewhere with like S-tier food everywhere, I ate the poutine and I was like, this is bad, like really bad.
So disgusting. The problem is that you have to get it in Quebec. Like,
Of course, I got it from the wrong place.
Yeah. Because
I'm in Canada. What do you want from me?
The problem is, so like the fast food chain poutine place is called New York Fries, and if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, I don't know what does.
On that menu, it was called poutine, and I'll say this though. Oh.
Here it is, Super Berry.
Multiple people at that table tried it, and everyone agreed it sucked. It wasn't just me. Like, people who had been to Canada were like, yeah, this is really bad by, like, anything standards, not just, like, this is just not good.
You have Spellbook of Judgment reprint, again, with, like, high rarity options is cool for retro formats, yeah, for anybody wanting to play Rulers.
So, got a comment here. I've heard the spells and traps of the LTs are the really good ones that are consistently good.
Reasoning and Harpy's Featherstorm are both very cool. So in my limited experience, that's true. Because I think the Simoon is really cool, but the other two monsters were kind of mid. Please ban this, Dimension Shifter. Oh, it's a Collector's.
Nice. That's my favorite.
Tri Brigade Revolt in Secret, which I think it already has from the tins, but is good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I thought you were going to say Revolt CR. I was like,
this is a brother. Collector's Rare Artemis the Magistus Moon Maiden.
How does that look?
It is very, very pretty. I really like the Collector's, actually. The
cards with blue and white and silver look good in, yeah, like Collector's and Secret and stuff like that, I've always found.
If you want to summon Alistair, this is the card to pick up. Vision Hero, yeah, Phaos, sure, and Full Armor.
Can we have YCSs that aren't in the middle of nowhere? Who wants to go to Virginia? Konami wants to go to Virginia, where the venue prices are way cheaper.
So if we're looking at this box, I have pulled... So it looks like my balance is slightly off.
Microphone, talk into the microphone.
So it looks like my balance is slightly off. But which is fair. So I have 4 collectors, 3 quarter centuries, 5 alties, and 3 plat secrets. Although I do still have a pack.
It looked like you had just forgotten about the pack.
No. I'm getting there. So in theory, it would be cool to pull a plat secret, but I think the 5 and the 3 is like kind of how that stuff kind of goes. Red Eyes Flare Metal. Secret Rare Eldritch the Golden Lord. Very pretty. Ultra Rare Deco Talker Heat Soul, Ultra Lone Fire, and then Super Ecclesia.
How many Eldritches did you pull?
So I think I have 3. I think that was the third.
Mr. Taggett, I'm just going to let you know. There needed to be more. And we're going to discuss right now. Here's my theory. I think that this is only the Rarity Collection 1. I think we have Rarity Collection 2 Edison Boogaloo coming by the middle of next year.
I think there's no way they don't do another one. Like, financially, this has to have been just a massive success for them. Because there's still a lot of cards that they could reprint in the next one. I saw someone on Twitter make a list for a potential one for next year. That's pretty cracked. Where are we at on time? Because I could...
We're 53 minutes.
Okay. Maybe we should not do the second box then. Because you need to go to bed. But...
You can turbo that second box while I monologue.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
So I'm going to tell the viewers here that not only are we going to be live streaming evening time, it'll be like very late, like 10-ish p.m. Central Time when we live stream. We'll set a time. Usually we try to record on Sundays and Wednesdays, which you've always been very... forthright about. We might do some more on Monday, Thursday, because I don't know what days are going to work best for us on the new schedule, and we are going to start having a co-host soon, but we're going to be live streaming actually starting this episode going forward. The goal is to live stream every episode moving forward.
Yo.
So... that's the goal. Now, I'm not saying we won't miss one every now and then, but that's the goal. On top of that, I also am going to go ahead and announce the live streams that I have coming up. I might do some additional side live streams here and there, like maybe a weekend. I have a free few hours. That's not... That's
Plat Secrets.
How did that get into this? This is not. How did that get into that?
What are you like digging through?
Well, there was a full on like thing that popped up.
I could not tell you. For the listeners at home, I've just pulled the I just pulled the Platinum Secret Triple Tactics talent. Bonkers.
Oh, that's an ad on Spotify. I was like, wait, how is this thing happening? It's literally an advertisement on Spotify. Okay.
The advertisers are very powerful.
Yeah. So
streams.
I have a mighty need.
Quarter century.
Okay.
Quarter century Artemis.
So you're killing on the Artemis.
A collector's and a QCR Artemis.
I have a mighty need. I am going to be doing regular live streams. In addition to regular live streams on a weekly basis, once per month, the idea is to do it for the next 6 months. So November, December, January, February, March, and April. At a date and time that I will determine and announce in advance. Once per month over the next 6 months, I'm going to be running on a Friday night into a Saturday morning a 24-hour live stream here on our YouTube channel. Like I said, be sure to be subscribed to our YouTube to be there for that. But we'll see. I'll be honest with you. The reasoning that I'm going to be doing the live stream on our YouTube, the 24-hour live stream, they will all six of them be fundraising streams. I found out recently that I'm going to have to replace the entire roof of my house and carport, as well as both the inside and outside AC units and pretty much all of the ductwork in the attic. So, and I have to do it all before next summer. And I am going to need about $30,000 to have the new roof and all the AC unit put on my house. So, in addition to picking up a bunch of overtime at work and basically becoming a full-on vendor, selling as much of my collection as I can piece apart as possible, I am also going to be doing some 24-hour charity live streams. These are not just going to be podcasts. They're also going to be me just like generally playing video games, me doing, you know, Master Duel, Ladder Climb, me doing whatever, you know, might do live streams, might have live content as far as like having people come over to my house and get live games in. There's a lot that we can do, and there's a lot of different ways that we can do it. Now, with that said, there will be like dono goals, things like that. There will be giveaways. There will be, you know, punishments for things. I don't know. Somebody suggested that for every $10, I eat a pickle. I don't know that I want to do that, because if I actually hit goals through stream, that's like 3,000 pickles. But regardless, there are ideas being floated of stream things to do to for the 24-hour live streams. And if you have ideas for the 24-hour streams, let me know, because I would love to hear them. But full disclosure, that's where I'm at. So there will be a few fundraiser streams coming up in the future, if that is something that you're interested in. And the fund that I'm raising for is my personal house fund, because I need an AC unit and a roof. So,
finally, my first copy of Fossil Dig in 2 boxes.
And it's a super.
Is it just a super, Sag? Loki, not to interrupt, very important cause. Dinkirsu, also a very good reprint. This was a $10 card for a while for no reason. So, very good that it's in here.
Is Sunny smarter than a fifth grader? That's an amazing idea. The answer is no, but is it fifth or eighth? I can't tell. There's a little emoji in the way.
I mean, that's a decent option for
eighth grader. It's the show is fifth grader, but that says eighth grader. The answer is no, but I'll play the game. That sounds super fun.
I was going to say I could set up. Are you smarter than a fifth grader Yu-Gi-Oh quiz? That would be funny.
Yeah. Are you smarter than a YCS competitor?
True. Artifact Lands, yeah, so, secret is nice.
There are ideas brewing. I love that. Please send them to us in Discord. But with that said, I think it's time. Skyhawk, don't you?
I agree. Why don't you read some patron names while I take us away with some more packs?
So, of course, a huge, huge thank you to always second Naruto, but it's just me, Talk No Jutsu, and my toddler out of a tantrum. Zyphorus, Big Stinky, Blue Eyes is Best, Copium, Ding Dongs, Hostess of the Yang, Ding, Give Me That Horesi, Konami, HH Cyber, John Neal, Mountain Man, Oatmeal Spaghetti, Owen Alvarado, Pistol Place Pendulums, A Silver Hope, Understanding and Reading are Two Different Things, Virtual Savior's World, Welcome Host of the Top Cut Podcast, Flew On to Reason, Trouble Sunny, What Do You Call a Magic Owl, Houdini, Wind Up Carriers, Infidel, Mayday, Aaron Garner, Alexander Chan, Asami, Ashless Chaps, I'd see you, Sympathy, the Silver Castle, Blackwing, Silver in the Ascendant, as the Best Floodgate, Box Wine, Chubby, I got a pop up on my Discord. Blackwing Silver in the Ascendant is the best Floodgate, Box Wine, Chubby Ninja, Come On and Get Your Game On, Dragon Maidenless Behavior, I'm About to Rika Glamour Trooper for Cross These Plant Nuts in Your Mouth, Level 4 Fire Warrior Gaming, Little Stinky, Llama Yama Cam, Sarama, Maxi, Paco Man, Red Pinko 143, and Wanted Sing, Seeker of Your Mom's Sinful Spoils. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the podcast. That is, what is that?
So, I have a quarter century secret rare to finish us off out of this pack. While you were going off, I also pulled a Platinum Secret to Ghost Bell and Haunted Mansion. I gotta say, this card looks phenomenal.
Some people are just better.
I also pulled the Triple Tack and Plat Secret. Okay.
Insane.
Also, All Thought Eldritch. It's a Synchro. It is a quarter century secret rare Borreload Savage Dragon.
Ooh.
That
All right, so
is beautiful.
What are we looking at as far as like all of the cards you well go ahead and like all right well hey you know we'll cover this another time but hey
we'll listen, talk about it.
Thank you all so much for tuning into today's episode of the Top Cut Podcast, and as always, be sure to check us out on Patreon, Discord, Twitter, all of those above things, and until next time, have a great weekend, everyone.
I do have a card pun for this episode, actually, before we go. Sorry, this was a bit of a long episode. We were really drag Ostapelia-ing it out. But thank you for supporting us, as always. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.